This is RSBNB Update, episode 437, recorded Friday, November 1st, 2013, the Lumbridge Shopping Mall. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. Hope you guys are having a good week and can spare some time this weekend to listen to us in the midst of all the RuneFest live streaming that will be going on from JagX's end. So if you're just taking a break from the RuneFest stream and listening to us, welcome, and we'll let you get back to the RuneFest stream as quick as we can. Because, actually, we do have some RuneFest things to talk about, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. So first off, let's just start with the Lumbridge Rebuild-a-thon, why don't we?
Okay.
What do you
Lumbridge
think?
Lumbridge is in the middle of rebuilding.
Yes.
you know, just think about this right now. We hired a bunch of white knights and everything else, you know, during the whole situation. How come they're not here helping us rebuild?
That's a good point. I guess knights are too noble to build. That would be my guess.
Don't want to get their hands dirty.
Fine. Yeah, that's how I'd say it.
But you know, we got a bunch of trains, giant spiders all over the place. We should be able to use them to carry logs and stones to clean up the mess.
This is true. Effectively, only a couple of areas are actually going to be put back together, and those are Explore Jack's Home, Hank's Fishing Shop, and the Lumbridge General Store. You'll be salvaging rubble from the castle wall, taking down the war camps, that sort of thing. So, basically, this is a quick little event that happens once a day, and earlier in the week, we discussed with 101Duck1 on supplemental a couple of things about this. Specifically, I asked him what his opinion was on a couple of things in here, starting with the idea of only rebuilding those three buildings and whether or not that should go further. So I'm going to ask you the same thing right now. Should we be going further on that?
Yeah, why not? We go rebuild and might as well clean up the place and make it look better than before. Every shop was rather bland. Hey, why not make a shopping mall?
I don't know.
Why not? It's one stop shop. You get your armor upstairs, you get your swords down below, and in the basement you can train on the dummies.
Okay, so make a lumbered shopping mall sort of thing. I guess that would work.
Yeah.
Very nice idea.
Why not?
Sure. Sure, very nice.
And it saves space, and then you know whoever still owns the other part of the land can sell it off to players and make some more money. Be another gold sink.
Yeah, we actually
home away from home.
Something on that this week too, but we'll get there in just a bit. So, basically, this event is very quick. Every day you can gather 1,500 points. Definitely takes under 10 minutes. It's not something that you have to burden yourself with the same way that I felt, at least, you had to do with the Battle of Lumbridge. So I am a bit happy about that, but it remains to be seen what the general community uptake on this will be. So do you think it's too short?
What, the whole rebuilding thing?
Yeah, given that you can do it in under 10 minutes a day.
I think it's fine. I mean, it's better than spending the countless monotonous, I can't say that right now, all those hours of, you know, gathering divine tears before. It's quite a breather just to do that in 5 minutes and be done.
All right.
It might be more later on, but I think that's a fairly good time frame. I think they're trying not to bore people to death.
Yeah, and probably because they want to save it for the RuneFest event, which will be happening on Saturday. All right, then. Moving on from that, some of the rewards from this, you can gather 1,500 points a day, and right now, you can use these to purchase experience lamps. So the small Rebuild-a-Thon lab is 750 points. It's available to free players. The medium Rebuild-a-Thon lab is available to free players for 1,500 and members for 750. So the minimum that we have as a member is 750. And there's the large one, if you're a member, that you can pay 1,500 points for. So there's those. And have you noticed on the interface that it says there are some rewards that are not unlocked yet?
Yeah.
What do you think those are going to be?
Probably lamps. They did say they would pay some cosmetic things going on. I got an apron out of this. So probably upgrade the apron or something.
All right. Yeah, because, I mean, it's a question for me of whether or not to be spending my 1,500 points daily or save them up for something else. Because as it stands right now, I could spend these 1,500 points and easily get Slayer experience once a day, 20k Slayer XP. And over the span of 5 days, that's 100k Slayer XP. That's about 10 hours of Slayer save. Or spend it on summoning, which is an expensive skill to train. So, I mean, it would be nice to know what these other rewards are going to be looking like once they come out. It's kind of unfortunate we don't see kind of a grayed out portrait of what they are.
Uh-huh.
So, there are other things that you mentioned. The Builder's Apron is the first one. Then, once each of the three buildings are completed, you can claim the following rewards. If you complete Jack's house, you get a replica of his helmet. If you complete Hank's fishing shop, you get an emote called the Architect. And if you complete the general store, you get a title called the Builder. So there's some cosmetic rewards right there, as well as the apron. So with that being said, I'm still torn whether or not to save my points. Have you been saving yours?
I used it on the first one. I'm saving it for the second day just to see what happened later on. So I spent on one, got about 20k experience and something, and that was it. I was like, okay, that's good to know.
Alrighty then. So I did mention that they are going to be doing something Rebuild-a-thon related at RuneFest, which is, of course, this Saturday, if you guys are listening to that after RuneFest or sometime in the afternoon. RuneFest is probably over. But regardless, on the Saturday, there's going to be an event going on, and if this event is completed between 9 a.m. and midnight GMT, there's going to be a memorial, and if this gets completed with the help of the people at RuneFest and the people in-game, then it will stand as a finished memorial, but if it's not done, the memorial will just stay incomplete. And if you are at RuneFest, apparently you'll be given a code to count as a full daily contribution. So, should be interesting to see, given what happened to that Essence Memorial north of Falador there. Because that wasn't completed,
yeah, that didn't
did
go
they?
Out very well.
Yeah.
Never was. They deadline. Tried it lower. It never did. No, they extended the deadline lower. It still didn't make it.
All right.
Which, in a way, though, it's kind of... Who knows, but... Well, I don't think it'd be much, but... it was kind of one and alter was just out of the way for most people.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's try and get this one completed this time. So I'll try and get the show out early on Saturday so you guys can complete this, because it would be nice to have this coinciding with RuneFest and wrapping up the first world event. So try and listen to this and make sure that you did. And if you're listening to this after Saturday, be sure to check up on the progress as to what happened. And fingers crossed that somebody did indeed complete this memorial. All right, so that's pretty much all we got for the Rebuild-a-thon right now. A simple event. It's replaced Halloween. We'll talk a bit about that later.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let's move on to the release notes for this week. Anything jumping out at you?
Release notes? Not much, really. Let me glance through it one more time. Maybe I missed something the first time. Let's see.
The only one that...
it's really short.
That stood out for me was the full lumberjack outfit, now giving the correct bonus XP for crystal trees.
Hmm.
Because that would be some pretty insane woodcutting XP if you had the lumberjack and crystal trees. So.
I'm a lumberjack and he's okay.
All right. So anything on there from you?
No, it's really short. Just minor bug fixes and glitch and hair clipping issues.
Okay.
So basically people got a haircut.
Yes.
Just got a haircut. That's basically what happened.
Alrighty then. So moving on is the Well of Goodwill. This is basically a wishing well that was added directly south of the Grand Exchange. And it serves two purposes. The first one to be a way for players to give to charities that Jagex chose. So there's a whole list of charities that Jagex gives to. And basically, based on the amount that's donated, Jagex will donate a certain amount of money. So for every 10 million GP donated by players, Jagex will donate $1 of real money. And for every bond donated, we'll pass all those revenues received directly onto the charities. So it's a really good way for RuneScape players to give away some of their wealth and actually have a benefit in the real world. Which, you know, if you think about it, it's something that people have wanted to do for a long time in game. And it's nice to finally be able to have the chance to do such a thing.
Without actually getting out of their bed.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So there's...
How much money is in the well now?
Well, this is the amazing part, actually. You ready for this number?
Yeah.
131 billion, 55 million, 637,083 coins for a grand total of 13,105 US dollars. That's the amount of GP that's been donated in terms of direct GP and items that have been put into it. Now, 2,234 bonds have also been donated for a total of $10,500. So
wow.
Far we're up to about 23,600 here in the span of about 3 days. So let's just say this
either
is
people had a lot of money to burn or Jagex miscalculated how much we would actually donate.
Yeah, that could be the case because just for 3 days and having this running as a community effort for that, just to be able to donate that much based on the players is a very nice number indeed. So all the players who donated in this should be very happy with their results.
That's good. It just shows that, you know, we as video gamers still care about people and everything else.
They're not heartless gamers.
No, those are the 25-year-olds who screams at Call of Duty because some 12-year-old shot him in the head. And you know how that goes. Insert your mama joke here and empty threats there and threaten to hack you here.
All right. Well, back on to the good news. So 131 billion GP being taken out of the game. How do we feel about that?
Didn't you say someone dumped in like 4 billion GP or something?
Yeah, that's the point of this, actually. There is a high scores page for the Will Goodwill. And so far, top coin donations, Lobster Dog, 4.1 billion coins. 4.1 billion coins. The next one, 4.1 billion and a little bit over than that. Then third, 3.8 billion coins. So these are people who have donated huge amounts of GP into this. Rounding out the top 25 comes out at about a billion coins donated. So that is remarkable to see that many coins coming out of the game and into this. I'll actually take this... this chance to promote one of the Informer articles from this week. Jason wrote about money sinks in games in general. So you can have a read on that at informer.rsbnb.com. But regardless of what that article says, this is a money sink that is good. And every so often, if you have a charity effort like this, you can suck a huge amount of wealth out of the game That's good for the economy in general. And just the economy has a bit of pressure relieved on itself, and it functions better for the end user in the long run. So, you can actually see these high scores. Just go to runescape.com/charity/well of goodwill, and you can see it right there. So far, Stoke has donated 266 bonds. Lucky Escape has donated 110 bonds, and Hawkins C has donated 91 bonds. I think the better way of going, if you wanted to raise more money, would probably be to donate bonds. What do you think? Because each bond counts for $5.
Each one's... How much is a bond now, right now?
About $6 million.
Because remember,
every $10 million, you get $1. So it's better to buy a bond and donate that than to donate just $6 million.
Because if you
were to buy two bonds, you would donate $2 if you put that EC into the well. But, I mean, GP, EC. Sorry. Yes, wrong game. Wrong game. Sorry about that. You would donate $2 if you put that GP into the well. And if you put those two bonds in, you would donate $10 instead. So, I mean, there you go.
That's nice.
Yeah, so very, very
going for
good overall.
So this is supposed to be for going for the month of November, right?
Yes, ends in 28 days.
Yeah. I think their goal is 1 trillion GP.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you can see it on this page. They got a little thermometer type thing that's slowly going up, and they're going to get to 200 billion eventually. So more than half there.
So they donated 1 trillion GP. I wonder how much would they donate in real life?
Hang on. So that would be 1 trillion divided by 10 million. Let me just make sure I get my zeros right here.
Yeah, I don't know. I know you can do it faster than I would.
Yeah, give me one sec. So that's 1 million.
I would probably miss the zero.
Now we're at 1 billion. Now, three more zeros. Let me just make sure we got the right amount here. I don't know. I lost the zeros. It's hard to see. My calculator doesn't have commas in it when you get that far. Hang on here. All right. So there we go. So 1 trillion. Now we'll donate that. Oh, modify that by 10 million.
100 grand?
Yeah, that's right, I think.
If I get that right and faster than you with a calculator, you're supposed to be the math one.
Yeah, I don't know. Something is up with that. Obviously not a good day to be doing quick calculations like that. So, overall, I'm happy with this update. It shows that to lots of people out there that really don't have compassion for Jagex, that they are a good, honest, caring company. And shows that, you know, not all corporations are evil, like people would like to think they are. So good on Jagex for doing this, and good for the players for contributing that much EC. Oh, damn it, I mean GP again. I'm so sorry about that.
So how are they going to split the money, though? Because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 organizations they want to donate to. I don't know.
They didn't say. It would be interesting to know that. But I think the fairest way for that would be able to just go evenly. I mean, take however much you get and just have it, you know?
Or let us vote. Everyone gets right off the bat. You know, I don't know. I say what? To see 5 of these, like, what, 10% of the total of each one, and then whatever is left, we vote on which one we want to donate to.
Yeah.
So each percent gets 1% of whatever is left, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that would work.
I don't know, it's up to them. Oh, it would be a nice way for them to kind of determine how they want to donate it, but that's up to them.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I did it. 1 trillion 1 trillion GP is $100,000.
Hey, I was right. I beat you.
Yes, you did. Congratulations.
That doesn't happen very much. I need to buy a lotto.
All right. Now, there's something else with this update that people need to be brought into the picture here. Not only are players invited to donate their GP and items into the well, but there's actually an effort, a community effort by a group of players, I guess you could call them, to remove the whips from in-game to increase their value. So the idea is that people will buy up all the whips off the exchange, buy as many as you can, and donate them. And yes, you can definitely see a result from this. I invite everyone to have a look at the graph for the Abyssal Whip. Look at that.
Let's take a look. Oh my god! But then again, it could be just a ton of people just buying it for max price. And
you don't get it. You don't get an item to shoot up like that in the natural sense without an update. So.
Damn, dude, I should have bought like 20 million whips before. Damn it.
Yeah, so there go the whips, and I commend these people for doing that because it's hard with 85 Slayer to have something drop for you that's only worth 85k, and you know, back in the olden days it would be 1.6 mil, and before that around 30 mil. So people definitely do want those olden days back, and I mean, if people are going to make the whips go up by, of course, not that much, but in the end of the day, if they go up and they're going to charity instead, then that's all the better, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But then again, why would you spend that money on buying a whip when you can buy a bond and donate even more money to charity?
Yeah, I mean, the thing to remember is that, actually, no, this is a good point. I'm not sure. If you buy a bond off the exchange, are you able to donate that bond into the well without paying the tax? That would be something I'd be interested to know.
And they probably would end up paying the tax with it as well, but yeah, so be it.
Yeah.
All right.
All righty, man. All right,
for those who, well, just say this really quick, about a week ago, the whip was around 73,000 GP, and right as of right now during this podcast is about 85,000 GP. So it was shot up about 10k.
Yep.
In about a week.
All right, so let's talk about the behind the scenes for November, shall we?
Okay.
All right. So first up this month, it's a month of little improvements to make the game better with one headlining update. So first, the headlining update is Barrows Rise of Six, which is an expansion to the Barrows area, and not just new graphics or whatever, new lore, but actual new activities. So that'll be coming out sometime later this month. And that was kind of alluded to in the Missing Presumed Death quest with the Barrows amulets. That there would be a way to get more of those in the future.
Oh, but quick question. Did they ever fix that bug from the Grandmaster thing a while ago? Or no?
No, not that I know of. That quest has not been fixed yet.
So I wait. Okay. I haven't done any of the quests yet.
All right. So Barrows Rise of Six. And of course, remember, Barrows came out way, way back when. So this is another refresh. Following based off of the graphics update a couple of years back. So definitely.
Oh, they're working as a team now. They're working as a team.
Yeah, you're going to be able to take your own team down there and slay them.
Oh.
I know. Are you imagining some sort of threesome thing happening with you and...
Did you just say some threesome thing happening?
Yeah, with you, Mike, and myself.
Why bring you? Shoot, I don't need you. I just bring Mike by myself. Me and
but
him.
But you need three people.
Oh, that's easy. I'll just find a level two. I'll just make another character, drag him inside, and tell him to stay in the back.
Very funny. Very funny. Anyways.
Okay, I'll just read this part really quick for people. Barrel Brothers are back, tougher than ever. This time, they're working as a team, waiting to take on groups of four adventurers hungry for a beating. Okay, four, Shane, not three. They're a wealth of new abilities, tactics, and a truly horrifying new capability to deal damage. Keep things interesting. The Brothers fought. Every day will change, meaning you'll have to stay on your toes and adapt your tactics. And rewards for the exchange of might versus white includes full set of a delicate spiky level 90 melee power armor. Ooh. You'll be able to earn fantastic new level 90 shields for all three combat types. Check them out below.
And here we go. Another group of armor releases that are done solely by bossing, and really the skills are left behind once again, unfortunately. So we'll have to see how this pans out when the update comes. But anyways, also this month, we also got the DND tracker, which is a way to see exactly when you can do the next distraction and diversion and where it is, because, you know, there's just so many of them. It's hard to have to see where they are in all your list and whether or not you've done them and when you can do them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also they'll be handing out some replay tokens for various D&Ds. And yes, my favorite D&D, the Dungeoneering Sinkhole, was listed in the behind-the-scenes video for this.
Okay.
And a bunch of other improvements. I'm just going to skip down to the one that I'm most excited about that I've needed for quite some time, and that is the ability to add notes to individuals on your friends and ignore lists. So you can finally put a note beside that person who always keeps changing their name. So
a new beam of light animation when you drop worth over 1 million. Huh.
Yeah, they're wanting
new achievement,
I guess, to have people highlight their drops.
Oh, activate auras will ignore deposit all in the bank. Thank you. That's nice.
Did that good.
That was annoying.
Also, drag and drop mouse movement in the bank and beast of burden inventory, allowing for easier bank sorting and inventory management.
Yeah, I should clean up my bank. That's been a while.
Yeah.
Milestone fireworks for hitting achievements over 99, like reaching 725 million XP. Because you can go for a Shane.
Yeah, I'd go for 50 million farming XP. That's probably when the next one would come, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. So, and also some improvements to the world map. So, good amount of changes this month. I have to say, I like these months with lots of little changes and one highlighting update. So, very nice indeed.
Yay.
All right. So, moving on from that, just a reminder to everybody to vote in the RuneScape Top Trumps. This weekend's polls are Trolls versus Ogre, Greater Demon versus Imp, and Pest Queen versus Moya. All right. You know, I have to admit,
I'll go Greater Demon versus Imp.
I haven't been voting in these. I forgot.
Oh, nor have I. So. Me. All right. So be it, Shane. Be it.
I mean, it's card pack. It's probably not something I'm going to be interested in, so it's fine. Anyways, this weekend's promotion on the Squeal of Fortune is the Divination Skill Outfits. So you can spin those, and I actually got two of them in my daily spins. So that'll be good.
Cool. I got the boot today.
The what?
That's boot.
What?
That's boot.
Sorry, boot. I can't hear you. What?
The boot.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to get you to say that again. It sounded like you were saying a boot.
That's boot.
Okay. So if you get all the pieces, you can get 6% experience boost total. So look for that on the Squeal Wheel. And I figure everybody should pay special attention to these because, you know, divination is the newest skill and it's a primary skill and people don't really like training it. So, Keep an eye out.
I don't mind it. I just think, well, it's semi-AFK-able, but not to the degree that most people would like it to be.
Okay.
All right. Let's see what's next. And, oh yeah, you want to talk about RuneFest now or
Yeah,
talk about it
yeah.
later?
No, right now.
Okay, RuneFest is happening very soon.
Well, after... Well, it depends what time you're listening to this. If you're listening to this early on Saturday, it's happening now. If you're listening to it later on Saturday or after, it's over. But, regardless of RuneFest Live, Jagex has streamed RuneFest this year, which is nice. So, what I do want to say at this point of the update is that we actually do have one staff member this year at RuneFest, and that's Alex43 from Informer. So he's actually there at RuneFest this week. So basically, what I want to say to everybody is to do two things. I'm going to try to promote his relevant tweets on RuneWire and also retweet them from the RSBNB Twitter account. So just make sure you follow RSBNB staff for that. Or you can follow his Twitter username, which is Alecyte, A-L-E-C-Y-T-E. And he'll be posting all of his RuneFest updates on there throughout the day. So if you are listening to this while RuneFest is going on, follow it. And if you're following it after the fact, you can still visit his Twitter page and see what he put up. But it doesn't end there. There's actually two more prongs to this that's going to be happening. The first prong is that we're going to be doing a special RSBNB update with him on Sunday. So that's two RSBNB updates in 1 week. We'll catch up with him, or I'll catch up with him, and we'll figure out what exactly happened at RuneFest, get his thoughts. So that'll be that. And he's also got a video camera there with him. So we are also going to have some video coming back from it that was taken by him. So double prong kind of thing going on. So you can watch for those videos coming in later this week once he's back. So definitely doing a good amount of RuneFest coverage this year. And look forward to seeing what he returns for us and what Jagex streams.
Okay. We'll have a lot of things to cover next week, won't we?
Yeah, well, that's exactly why I'm doing this special edition after RuneFest, because I figure we're going to have an in-game update next week, so why not just dedicate a sub or a RSBNB update to that, or another supplemental, you know?
Okay.
All right. So, shall we move on to questions?
Yeah, that's it. That's it for our IRS update. Let's get our first audio question from Mormumska.
Hello, Shane and Temple Tricky. How you doing? Mormumska here. This week, I would like to ask, when you play RuneScape, do you put yourself in perspective, or do you let your inner true self shine? Also, who are your heroes, if you have any? And host, sorry to diverge from the RuneScape podcast, but recently with all this Pokemon talk, I felt like going back to my roots, playing first gen Pokemon. I was wondering, which setup should I use? It's been so long since I played Pokemon, so maybe you have some interesting suggestions. Anyways, I'll talk to you next time. Mormumska out.
Alright, so do you put yourself in the element when playing?
No. I'm not Uncle Dana.
Yeah, I have to say that I don't really put myself into it either all that much. So, I mean, it's not something that I do from time to time. I have to say the closest that I get is actually when I'm on one of my farming runs.
Well, you're into farming more than I am.
Yeah, that is true. So, I don't know. I mean, back in the olden days, I think we used to do it more because we would have more in-game events and that sort of thing. But now we don't do that. So, I mean, it's not something where we role-play like we used to. So, all right.
Okay, and Pokemon. What did you use for your Pokemon back in Red and Blue?
You know,
and maybe Green.
I don't exactly remember the setup, but I like to keep it a bit obscure. So I wouldn't have the traditional type things. I was always a fan of the more odd types, like the psychics and whatnot. Basically, I don't remember exactly what they were, but the strategy was to go for things that would pretty much cover all bases, and there would be very few advantages. I mean, disadvantages to me. I always had one sort of the three elemental types that had that as a secondary, because that's pretty much a requirement in order to take out any of the core ones. Because, you know, you're bound to come into contact one of the core threes. So, like the core three original. So you had to have something to counter each one of those. And then the rest of them I would fill up with rather annoying ones in the psychic or ghost type ones.
I still kind of remember mine. I used all three legendary birds. I had Charizard. I just like Charizard. It was cool.
Oh, yeah. I used one of those.
Had Alakazam. Who was my water person?
I can actually check right now. Hang on. Keep talking about yours.
Okay. And let's see. That's four or five. And I... What was my...
Yeah, you had six, right?
It's six, but what was my water one? Because I didn't want to have surf. I remember that. I think it was either Blast. I think it was Blastoise. Yeah, I think it was Blastoise. I used Blastoise. And gotta love the Mingxingo cheat, eh, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it would cheat code, sometimes not. Oh, hang on. Let's see. Oh, I'll check. Should I check yellow or red?
I think
I got the most progress on yellow. I don't know why I got this in the drawer. It's been in this drawer for years.
Interesting.
All right, so this is copyright 1999. It's yellow. Yes. You can hear it?
Yeah.
All right. How did we do this? All right.
Press start. Pokemon. And
yeah.
Whatever you have in there.
Obviously wasn't... I don't know what I was doing at this point. Because there's two Blastoise on this roster. So obviously it's not realistic to ask. So forget about that then. Sorry about that. I thought I could have a good answer to this, but I guess not. So let's just move on from this and say that I always prefer to go with the kind of more obscure options. All right. Anything else on that?
I don't have it money anymore. Benny erased my red, and I had to start all over. I didn't feel like doing it in the end.
Aw. It's too bad.
Yeah, you remember a couple years ago when they found out you can get Mew in the game by some glitch?
Yep.
In a red and blue. So I had an old blue one, and I was trying it. I actually did it, and my red one was the only one that I had that actually had all 150 Pokemon. I just have Mew because there's no way for me to get it at the time. I let Benny borrow my blue and he lost it somewhere, and then when I finally found it again, he somehow erased my red one. So yeah, that was fun.
That's so unfortunate.
I captured all I captured all 150 Pokemon and did some other things with it too.
Yeah, and that's really where it should have ended, right? I mean, I lost total track after the first 150.
251 was cool. I mean, I don't remember the entire roster of Pokemon in the for the rest, but you still know who they are and everything. But after that, I was like, oh, I'm done. Now it's like, what, 1,000 plus Pokemon? Some of them are basically garbage. Like, literally, they're shaped to be look like garbage.
All right. Well.
Mew was cool. I like Mew. But
so should we?
Best Pokemon ever was Mixingo.
Yeah, that one was actually Glitch, wasn't it?
That is still one of the best cheat ever. And in Gold and Silver, you can actually duplicate Pokemon, which was always cool.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. So what exactly was the Missing No for people who...
Missing No was supposed to be something that... I can't remember what it was. Supposed to be a Pokemon that they decided, but they decided to scrap it or something. There's actually a documentary, a small documentary on it, if you wanted to post it onto the spreadsheet, or to the notes.
Really?
Yeah.
And by the way, Missing No stands for missing number.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Here we go. There's one of them. That's a longer one, and...
All right, just put
it, that's about it.
In the notes, because my Skype is not cooperating with the text right now. So let's move on to the next question from Veteran.
So you guys can take a look at that anytime.
All right, you want to read this?
You go first. Let me finish typing in the stuff. You can go first, Shane.
All right. So, hello, host. What are your opinions on the Halloween event? Although Jagex tried to stay away from that theme, I still feel it's a bit bland. Also, why don't we have one of these for Edgeville? It's still burning down after all, just in the nick of time. V.
You know, me and Shane were talking about this, we were thinking about this when Lumber was being fixed and Edgeville was still down in the dumps.
Yeah, I mean...
I think it's safe to say one thing, Shane. Money makes the world go round. There's more money in having a castle nearby than it does have be close to the wilderness.
Yeah, that's true. So there's also the fact that the battle was actually there, and Edgeville is just basically a border town that's so close to the wilderness that back in the olden days, it was just supposed to be the PKers were passing through there heading to the wilderness. But regardless...
Sorry, go ahead.
But all it really means is that there were PKers passing through there, and I mean, it was a battle, and this was from a quest that, at the time being, only a certain portion of the player base could play. So the idea was is that Edgeville can burn, and not many people will see it. Just for the people that witnessed the end of Ritual of the Majorat. Compared to everybody who witnessed the Battle of Lumbridge. So that's what I take away from it. But I definitely agree with you that Edgeville does need to be fixed up, given that it's been so long since that quest happened.
Yeah, Edgeville. Bureaucracy. Varrock doesn't want to pay to fix it, and Falador doesn't want to pay to fix it. That's basically it, isn't it?
Yeah, if you think about it, because it's sandwiched right between the two of them.
Yeah, Lumbridge is actually a big city, and he has the Duke of Lumbridge basically has a nice army of slave labor.
They're slaves. Also, I'd like to touch on the Halloween thing. I touched on it a bit in the supplemental about it not being Halloween themed and missing out on that. So you can watch supplemental on YouTube as well. Link is in the show notes, update.rsbnb.com. But I always preferred the Halloween events from years past and whatnot. And it's a bit different not to see a Halloween event going on like that, because that's just such a staple of RuneScape history. But at the same time, the game has evolved so much that there's a rich culture in the game that they can celebrate their own culture around these times. So it's not exactly needed, but I can definitely feel where it would be nice. So I'm kind of split on this as to which one I'd prefer, but I don't know. I'm going to have to agree with Veteran here. It's a bit bland, and Halloween always provided for interesting events. I mean, who can argue with a scythe or zombie mask or zombie head type thing, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I think they should really do a little trick-or-treating thing for Lumbridge, just to get spirit, you know, show like kids, get spirits back up type of thing. But okay, they do what they want
to
do. Yeah, I can do.
That was a good Halloween event, I must say, the trick-or-treating one, right? Where kids would come to you and ask trick-or-treat, and then you could give them either or, and then you'd get a reward for doing it at the end. I mean, that's about as classic as it gets, I think. So, anyways, anything else on that one?
No, I don't have much. I mean, that's just it.
Alrighty then. Well, that's it for questions this week. So I'll just remind everybody that if you want to send questions in, audio questions, they can be sent to questions@rsbnb.com. Just email us the file, or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just Skype into RSBNB update, no punctuation or spaces. Or you can leave us a voicemail on the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. And of course, the regular questions topic is posted early in the week.
Alrighty then, and we move on to tech news, Shane.
Alright, so the first story in tech news is 1 in 3 kids use a mobile phone or tablet before they can talk. I believe it.
That's sad.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I kind of knew was going to happen when the iPads first came out. Because what do toddlers do with their fingers, right? That's what they use to feel the world. Fingers. And
toes.
Angry Birds is a prime example of something that a 2-year-old can play. They see what happens when you pull a elastic back and the birdie goes flying. They're going to do that, and they're just going to experiment with it. And by some virtue of it, they're going to learn how to play this and knock the things down. Granted, they won't be able to do it with as much thought as an adult, but, I mean, still, they're going to be able to do it. So I completely believe this, and I knew something like this was going to happen, because 29% used it as toddlers, and 70% mastered them completely by primary school age, so that's 4 or 5. Also, now this is where things start to get a little bit different. By the age of 9, children have typically sent 116 texts and 85 emails. By the age of 9. I mean, back in the olden days like that, there was hardly anyone to email. So it's not as though this was something we could do back then. But regardless, the technology did exist for that. It's just I don't think it was as prolific then as it is now. So overall, that's slightly concerning, don't you think?
Oh, email is gonna go out of the way anyway. Only reason we still have email is because people use it as a legal document,
which is bad too, because email shouldn't be a legal document.
Well, you use it as evidence in everything you say, so
yeah, I guess.
The same thing as if you posted something on Facebook, it's there, and even you delete it, it's still there.
Yeah. I mean, also 40% of people under 8 had used a phone or a Kindle. So, and that's also the same for ages under 2. So, technology use is definitely filling out at the young end. And, I mean, I, of course, would have reservations about letting someone do this unobserved, but I guess you do need to have the control as a parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It just seems a bit shocking coming from a generation where we didn't have iPads and we didn't have email, if you know what I mean.
Well, our generation is the last one that's actually, well, more or less, the last generation, which all Generation Y, all Generation X did was really build this stuff. We actually were the guinea pigs, and now Generation Z is basically like, all right, the Y's tested it out. It's our turn to really reap the benefits.
Whoops. I'm sorry about that.
What?
I'm sorry. It's okay.
Was that really?
Sorry, I forgot to turn one of my noises off. Continue.
No, that was basically it. So, you know, Generation X created everything. Generation Y tested everything. Generation Z is reaping the benefits.
Yeah, and that's the way it goes. But, I mean, as usual, we do need to hope that parents will exert good control on this.
Yes. No TV.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there used to be limits as to when you could use this technology, right? We just got to hope that this is going to be the same.
Okay, then.
All right. So next up, you can tell us about this one.
Okay, according to this one, the FAA green lights gadgets used during entire flight. So as many of you know, if you've ever been in a plane, during landing and takeoff, they actually turn off all electronics. The reason? They were worried at the time that if you were to use your gadgets, the radio waves may interfere with the communication from the cockpit to the tower, which could cause problems. Or maybe interfere with some of the other electronics that are on the plane.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it became clear that over time, innocent things like an iPad or a laptop or iPod are not going to bring a plane down, providing their Wi-Fi networks are off and everything, right?
Well, even if the Wi-Fi thing was on, it's not going to connect to anything anyway, so it's just dead signal. That's not receiving anything. But the thing is that, you know, remember a couple years ago Mythbusters did an episode on this?
Actually, no, I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay. Well, Mythbusters actually did one where they actually grabbed an old part of the plane, strapped a tons of cell phone radio waves and just messed around with everything and nothing happened. And the whole idea was, you know, back when the whole idea is that while many electronics now really do not interfere, it's not worth the FAA's time to test every single one that make sure that it will not interfere. So they found it was easier just to ban it all and not worry about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
No electronics, period.
And that's the thing. The electronics have evolved so much that they have controls on limiting their radio waves, which are the ones that could legitimately cause problems, I think, if they were tuned properly. But even then, I think that would be a bit of a hard sell, because remember that in order, the way it works for most airplane communications, communicating with a tower or something, they use lower frequency than you get from your iPod's Wi-Fi or something like that, or but still, I mean, it's better safe than sorry, right?
So a little quick excerpt from the article. Passengers will eventually be able to read ebooks, play games, and watch videos on their devices during all phases of flight. Electronic items such as books, magazines must be held or put in the seat back pocket during actual takeoff and landing, because, as you know, Shane, going that fast and something starts flying, it's going to hurt someone.
Yes.
Cell phones should be put on airplane mode with cellular service disabled, i.e. no signal bar displayed.
And that's the one thing.
Voice communication based on FCC regulations.
And that's the one thing that that is sticking, is that there's going to be no cell communication in the air, which is understandable. So,
yeah, we just want you to, use the phone that's in front of your seat and pay the crazy bill.
Yeah. Overall, though, this is good. I mean, this has been a long time coming, I think. We've had the iPad since 2007 now and whatnot. I know on the planes that I've been on, people have always ignored these rules. The rule of turn them off and everything. People have always had them on during takeoff. So, I mean, it's always been ignored and nothing's happened. So it's good that this is being relaxed. I will say that.
I still remember playing a Game Boy during the flight, playing Pokemon. Advance Wars, man. Oh, did I love Advance Wars. It was one of the best Game Boy games ever.
Okay, and this relates to flight. How?
Because I was flying on a plane while playing them. It was just good times, man. Good times.
Okay. All right. And, of course, let me just say that all you need to remember when you are on a plane like this is to, granted, you can use your devices, but do remember to watch the security briefings. Because as we saw this year with the crash in San Francisco, being able to get out of the plane quickly and knowing where you are in relation to your exit is always a good thing. So watch those security briefings.
Actually, every time I go on a flight, you know how they're supposed to say that if you're in the doorway, you are, quote unquote, hopefully be physically able to assist people on the plane in the case of emergency. Every time I get on the plane, it's always the old frail elderly woman that's sitting in the emergency exit.
You're just thinking,
they want the extra room, fine, so be it. But if an accident it does happen, I don't see them trying to carry me out of the door.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. You got to keep in mind who's in the emergency door and who's not, so...
Yes. The one time I was in the emergency door, that was the only time the flight attendant came. I was like, all right, guys, emergency, are you willing to help? Well, duh, I can more leg room. Why wouldn't I? I'd gladly do it for more leg room.
Oh, yeah, me too. And always.
Nice. Yes. Then again, I did love first class as a kid. First class was awesome.
Yes, I did not get to experience that. Though that would be ideal, especially on a 14-hour plane ride. All right, so keep that in mind for when you're doing your Christmas traveling, anyone. And our last tech news stories, what do you got?
Well, it seems Nokia is coming back. So according to a recent article, Nokia is now fourth place in terms of smartphone sales in the U.S. Apple is still number one, but...
By 0.1% nonetheless.
Well, as a brand. Android as a whole is bigger than Apple, but Samsung is the second leading phone provider, followed by LG, Nokia, and Motorola. So you know what Nokia is known for right now in the smartphone world, don't you?
What, Windows Phone?
Yeah, they're the only ones running Windows.
Yeah.
So it's something. You think Windows is doing something right with the Nokia phones?
Yeah, they would be because you know it's actually the Nokia Lumias that have one of the best cameras on a smartphone. Some people even say it's better than the iPhone 5S camera. Those are really the top two when you think about it now. So that could be one of the reasons that Nokia is actually breaking into the top five here. So, but I mean. Isn't it amazing that such an old company like this is actually fourth place? Third being
actually,
LG?
Quite honestly, you're kind of surprised to see Nokia bouncing back. Ever since BlackBerry, you never heard of Nokia. Last time I heard of Nokia was in the first Transformers movie, and that was. That was years ago, man.
And look where BlackBerry is on this chart.
BlackBerry hasn't been able to really innovate.
Yep, and that's the problem with it. But I don't know. Overall, I'm glad that I guess Nokia is coming back because they were one of the original pioneers. And I guess if they can be Microsoft's sole hardware developer, that'd be good for Microsoft.
Actually, you remember the brick, the Nokia brick?
The thing that looks like a taco?
Not that one. That thing was stupid. The thing was supposed to be a video game, but at the same time, you're supposed to hold it sideways. That was the dumbest thing they ever made. But I'm talking about like the good old fashioned way back when, the cell phone for kids.
That oh, one. Yes. Like the 6101 with the classic type ringtone.
Yeah, you know, the one that everyone just plays Snake on it all the time because that was like the only game you could get.
Yeah, is that the kind of phone you'd like them to build nowadays?
No, but I remember reading a long time ago this article from Japan. They had a bunch of high executives. They had a bunch of high executives in Japan that still used that type of phone because they didn't want a smartphone. They felt they were more secure with using a dumb phone because they weren't worried about people attempting to hack into their phone or something.
Right, right.
Or spying on them.
All right.
Yes,
so
I know
overall,
you get the reference.
Yeah, I do. The NSA, right?
I didn't say it. They're watching me already. Anything I say will and can be used against me in the court of law. Remember, I can't strike against the federal government.
So Nokia coming back in the USA, interesting story. So with that being said, let's move on from tech news on to our other things, including the October Skill of the Month winner, which was?
The winner of the October Skill of the Month in crafting is Soul Lightning.
Huge amount of crafting XP gained there. 5.7 million. That's a nice amount of experience, so congratulations to you. Rounding out the three below that, we had Poison Nova at 4 million XP, Flash at 1.66, and Earth at 1.64, and Lord Rickles at 1.62. So definitely close race there for third. Second, taken nicely by Soul Lightning. So good work, everyone.
All right. And Poison Nova kind of flatlined at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And we have your supplemental next.
Yeah. So just everybody remember to listen to RSBNB Update Supplemental. Find that on YouTube. Link will be in the show notes. Or actually, better yet, just go to youtube.com/RSBNBstaff to find it. That's the easiest way of getting to it. And, of course, watch for more coming this week with videos and whatnot from RuneFest.
All right. And, Shane, you have a pick for us.
Yeah, I do. It's actually somewhat of a sub-pick of a thing we've talked about before. Everyone knows Wolfram Alpha, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll refresh my memory. Probably
Wolfram Alpha is an interactive answer engine. So basically, you can use Wolfram Alpha for a whole variety of things, from doing quick unit conversions on metric to imperial and vice versa, calculating derivatives of calculus functions, just looking up general information on places or atomic states, that sort of thing. But there is one thing that is something that is good that most people don't know about this. You can actually check with Wolfram Alpha what planes are overhead at the moment. So you do need to give your browser or your phone location access for this to be accurate. So I will say that. But basically, all you need to do is go to Wolfram Alpha and say what planes are overhead, and it will go, based on your current location, show you where the planes are with a sky map. So let's just say you're where I am. You'll see that Air Canada 143 is 4,097 meters overhead at a 6.6-degree angle heading southeast. So there's a map of where you'll look at it in the sky. So southeast is closer to south than it is closer to east. So you'll look up in the sky and you'll see it there. Then there's the other one. You'll see it there as well. So basically, the best way of doing this is to go out on an iPhone and ask Siri what planes are overhead, and it will pull up the information on Wolfram Alpha. And then the way you read the sky map is that based on your current location, you hold it up to the sky, and then the center point on that map is right overhead. And then north points north, south, south, and then it gives you a bit of a general thing about where to look. So imagine this circular picture it gives you as a dome over your head, and your head being in the center of it. So that's how you read a star chart. Then it shows you exactly where they are based on the star chart if it's at night. So if you have a binoculars or something and you want to go plane watching, you can just do it right from wherever you are with this little little piece of software on Wolfram Alpha. Works just like this. What planes are overhead?
Ding-ding.
Then it gives you the information. You can scroll through it and see it right there. So, of course, it's best to do it on an iPhone or a smartphone with Wolfram Alpha because that has the best location access. But you can do it in your browser as well. So that's a pick of the week.
Cool.
All right, what you been up to?
Oh, not much this week. I was training range a little bit, managed to get 89 range, which is good. Working on 90 right now, so I can do some stuff. Working on I did some co-op slaying over the week. Did Tears of Guthics because I want some free experience for Divination. Rebuild the statue stuff, to prepare statues around the world, and that was about it.
All right, what are you doing for your range training?
Range training? Oh, I'm just slaying, so whatever pops up, I just use that.
Okay. See, that's the thing I don't like about Evolution of Combat, is that if something's not weak to range, there's no way you can really use ranged to take it out effectively. So, I mean,
actually,
it's nice that you need to think, but it's just kind of hard to base your range training around Slayer.
I actually found that if they are not strong, very resistant to range, usually a higher level it doesn't matter because you can still go right through it. I actually got an ice skyworms this week, which is kind of cool. They're easy to kill. I actually got an Armadillo staff staff of light out of it.
Oh, good. All right. Anything else?
Go Red Sox.
Okay. All right. Well, as for me this week, haven't been doing much on RS, kind of taking a bit of a quiet break, I guess, after I got my Charming Imp from the Sinkhole D&D, which I do have to say that damn thing is OP. I will say that once again, that if you have an aversion to training So first it's EC and GP, now it's Dungeoneering and Divination. Why? If you have an aversion to training Dungeoneering Sinkholes is a great way of doing it. I will just say that once more. So keep that in mind. But aside from that, I'm not sure what I'm going to do next. I might do some work on summoning, but like I was just looking at the numbers to 95, and it's something like 5,000 charms away, and I think I can get around 150 charms an hour, but I'm not sure if I want to spend that much on summoning at this point, because, you know, summoning is still broken with regards to the familiars in combat, so there's that, and it's just so expensive, so I'm not entirely sure if I want to do that right now. But that's something I'm contemplating, training my ranged up with that is an option. So not really much else aside from that, just helping Alex get ready for RuneFest, telling him some things he should watch for, that sort of thing, and eagerly anticipating what he brings back for us in terms of video.
All right, go Alex.
Yes, so look for that early next week, the special update episode and maybe some video. So that's all I got for this week.
Okay. And those who you are who are lucky to go to RuneFest, you have fun there. And if you want to post anything on the forum about what you did, go for it.
Alrighty then. With that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone. Take care.
Peace out.